Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise God. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 1, and I'm going to start sharing in sequence this week. I'm going to talk about the authority that God has given us as believers. And let me just say that this is an area that I think there's a lot of confusion in. Many of you may not relate to that title, and you may think, oh man, what does this have to do with me? There's certain things that are God's responsibility, and there's certain things that are our responsibility, that He gave us authority over this. And God won't ever violate those lines. Like, for instance, in James chapter 4, when it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, those aren't just words that God put in here to take up space. It says in Psalms chapter 89, verse 34, that my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone forth out of my lips. When God says something, it's a covenant. It's binding. He never changes. And so when God says, you resist the devil, and he will flee from you, then if you don't resist, the word resist means to actively fight against. If you don't resist, God's not going to step in and get the devil off your back for you. You have to resist the devil. You have to take your authority. And brothers and sisters, most of us are missing it in this area. This is my experience dealing with people, that people come and ask for prayer, and they're asking God to do something that He told you to do. For instance, the Scripture says in Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, He gave us a command to go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. And yet the average person, when they pray, they don't say, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God. I command you to be healed. That's not, if you pray that way, you'll get kicked out of church. You know how people pray, oh God, we can do nothing, we are nothing, without you, we are nothing. All of that's true, but the thing that's wrong with that is that you aren't without Him. It is true that if you could be without Him, you're nothing. But you aren't without Him. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And for you to stand here and profess your powerlessness and say, God, it's cancer, we can't do anything, you've just killed yourself. You're dying because, well, I can't do anything about cancer. Well, then what are you? Only a man or a woman? Are you only a physical human being, or are you God-possessed? Do you have God's power living on the inside of you? Any person who approaches their problem and says, oh, but God, the doctor says it's incurable. Would you please help me? You've already lost. You aren't taking any authority. You aren't taking any ownership of the power of God. You're approaching God as if you are a nobody. Well, I am a nobody. Well, if you aren't born again, that's pretty accurate. But if you are born again, you aren't a nobody. You now have the power of God living on the inside of you, and you need to recognize He gave you power. He said, you heal the sick. For you to say, oh God, stretch forth your hand and heal this person is wrong. God won't move. You can't get God's healing power by calling God to come and heal a person. Thank you for that thunderous silence. Some of you are thinking, well, I've never heard this, obviously. But this is how people are praying. Oh, God, we're asking you to come heal. You've lost. The moment you ask God to come heal. Somebody's saying, so who are you making yourself to be? In myself, I'm nothing. But see, because of the authority that God gave me, He said, you heal the sick. It's up to you whether the sick gets healed, not up to God. I know some of you are kind of shocked, like, oh. But this is true. This is meant to help you. You know what? Have you found Acts 1 yet? Just flip over to Acts chapter 3. Let me start with this. This is a good example of what I'm talking about. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were going into the temple. And it says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'" Man. Most people, "Oh, you shouldn't point anybody to you. You ought to point them all to Jesus." He says, "Look on us." You know, you could misunderstand what I'm saying here. I am not trying to present us as being superior to God or anything. But, you know, this friend of mine, he was over in Nigeria holding a meeting. And the very first night of the meeting, people started getting healed. Miracles started happening. Blind eyes were open and things like this. And so the next day, as he was walking in town through the marketplace, people recognized him from the meeting the night before. And people started running up and touching him, trying to touch him. And you know, his first reaction was, "It's not me. It's not me. It's Jesus. Don't look to me." And before he could get that out, the Lord stopped him and said, "Dave." And he said, "What?" He says, "What would you have thought if that little donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, and they started throwing their garments on the ground and putting palm branches and going, 'Hosanna, glory to God in the highest.' What would you have thought if the donkey would have said, 'Oh, it's not me, it's not me.'" Nobody was praising the donkey. They were praising the one that was riding the donkey. Amen. And the Lord told him, says, "Dave, it's not you there after. They see me in you." He says, "Let them touch you." And he just started walking like this and letting people touch him, and people started getting healed. I am not saying that we in ourselves are something special, but I am not in myself. I am now in Christ. Christ is in me, and you've got to have a God consciousness. And you've got to, when people need healing and they say, "Man, I came to you because I believe you can get the healing power of God to me," you ought to say, "Bingo." Yeah. Amen. You got it. This is the place. Amen. He said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they reached out and grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and God healed him. And he said, "Such as I have, give I unto thee." Did you notice, if you would study this, he never did pray and ask God to heal this person. He never did say, "Oh God, we come before you so humbly today, and we know that there's nothing good in us, and that we are powerless, and that, oh God, this is impossible." And spend time confessing his unbelief and just relating to, "Oh, we're just worms and we can do nothing." You know, you pray like that, you get the results that most of us are getting. He didn't pray and ask God and talk about how powerless and weak we were. He said, "Such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." You know what that is? That's authority. He understood that God had put healing power on the inside of him. And if you get healed, isn't a matter of whether or not God wants you well. That has nothing to do with it. God wants every one of you well. God has already healed every single person. God has already set every person free. It's not up to God whether you get healed or whether you get delivered. It's up to you whether you can receive and believe that he's given you this and release that power by your faith. Man, now that's radically, radically different than where the vast majority of the body of Christ is. You know, the other approach that most people are taking is a chicken way out. It's a cop out. Anybody can pray, "Oh God, we know that you are almighty, that you can do all things, that you can do, you haven't done anything, but you could do anything. Oh God, we know that everything is limitless, and if it be your will, pretty please, heal us." Anybody can pray a prayer like that. That takes no faith. There's no faith involved in that. But to stand up and say, Father, thank you that according to the word, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, we were healed by your stripes. It's already been done. You gave me power over all the works of the devil. In Matthew chapter 10, let's just read this verse in Matthew chapter 10. It's also in Luke chapter 9. Same thing recorded in two different gospels. But in Matthew chapter 10, I believe it's verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them. Notice this. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them power. And then you go on down here and read, and he said, like in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. He didn't say, pray for me and ask me to heal the sick. He said, you take this power and you heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And this is not what the church is doing. The church isn't healing the sick. They're saying, oh God, we are nothing and can do nothing. We are nobody, but you are everything. We ask you to heal. That's not what he told us to do. And that's the reason that we're seeing very little results, because people do not understand the authority that God has given us. It's not my power. It's God's power. But it's not outside of me. It's in me. I have it. God has given me his supernatural power.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith, and we have Bible college students and people there praying, and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place, and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.